Please join me as we read our text. Just before we have our seats, we are in the book of Matthew chapter 25. And today we bring a brief charge to us, even as we continue to embark on the theme of the impartation of uncommon increase. Our assignment today, we find it in the 25th chapter in the book of Matthew, reading from verse 1 to verse 13. If you're with me, say a big amen.
Amen.
The kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Verse 2. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were unwise. Those who were unwise or foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "No, lest there should not be enough for us and you. But go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready, please tell your neighbor, be ready. They went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore," somebody shout, "watch therefore.
Watch therefore.
For you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." Our message today is titled, "Come and Buy Without Money." Come and buy without money. We are going to uncover 3 master currencies that can help you buy even though you have limited resources. Please be seated. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to
worship you.
As that he panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after you. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to
worship you.
Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, as we ease into this sermon today, we must recognize that the moment of departure is a peculiar moment because there is so less to say. You know, it's like a loved one who is flying out right at the airport. There is a timing for departure and there is not so much to exchange your pleasantries because that person needs to go. Jesus is careful to know that as much as he is speaking in chapter 25, he knows that in chapter 26, 27, and ultimately to chapter 28 in the book of Matthew, that he has limited time with his disciples. And so he does much of the talking and speaking in the last chapters of the book of Matthew. Actually, the book of Matthew in that regard, those chapters are colored with red because Jesus continues to speak, to release his heart fully to the 12 disciples because they are just about to be unleashed as the pioneers of the apostolic church. He begins to talk about the end times, beginning to show the disciples that a time is coming where even the earth that we can see will be rolled away. So he's continuing to prepare his heart as he continues to prepare the hearts of the people that he has been leading for 3.5 years. And so in his teaching, ladies and gentlemen, he zooms in to a very pertinent parable that we shall also take time to consider. Our assignment today is not really to exegete the text in its fullness, but to use this chapter as a canvas by which we can also paint important pictures for our lives. And even though Jesus is not speaking to a congregation that has gathered for a wedding day, he uses the picture of a wedding banquet to teach them about deeper spiritual truths that must work upon their lives. The first thing that we say that Jesus makes mention is that there is the evidence of the groom. In those days, ladies and gentlemen, they had what we call the reverse culture in the Palestinian culture, where it was actually the man who could be waiting for the, the bride who would be waiting for the groom to come down the aisle. Now, don't try that in Africa. And so the groom would come at the evening because weddings in their culture happened in the evenings. And that called for the next mention that Jesus gives before us. He says that there were 10 virgins that were carefully selected. The assignment of the 10 virgins, the assignment of the virgins in itself was twofold. Number one, to give welcome to the groom. And then number two, to light up the path so that the groom could be able to find with precision the house where the bride is. So we have the groom, we have the 10 maids and the 10 virgins. And then number three, there is a mention of the lamps. These were the burning lamps. Because it was an evening affair, they needed to light up the lamps, at least to give light to this banquet. Originally, they used to call it the Herodian lamps. Their name was captured within the frameworks of King Herod. And occasionally, it was a long stick. And at the end of that stick, they had a rag that was mounted on the stick. And they would dip the rag into the oil. And the oil would burn for close to 2 hours. So we have the mention of the groom. We have the mention of the maids. And we have the mention of the lambs. And therefore, with those three things in place, then the wedding can be able to find its expression. But quickly, as we look at those elements, before we even recover to understand the context and all the elements that are already prepared for this wedding, Jesus continues to teach. He adds on another detail that baffles our minds when we look at it. He says that from the 10, we see now a big separation between the 5 and the 5. They started off as 10, but Jesus gives us more details to show us that in this group of 10, there was a division between the wise and the unwise. The first question that we ask is, how can you call these 5 virgins unwise? Come on, Jesus, time out. How can they be unwise? And when we look at them, we see the similitude of wisdom working upon their lives. Because we see 4 things in the life of these virgins. Number one, they had the power of consecration. Because if you are a virgin, it means that your garments had not been tainted. They had walked through the consistency of purity and righteousness so that they were called out from the multitudes. They had defined their lives with the right intent of their hearts. They had not defiled themselves with the chaos of the world. And then number two, they had the power of access. Because only 10 were picked. The rest were left on the outside. So they enjoyed the power of access. Number three, they had the power of resources. Because if you have a lamp in those days, if you had a lamp in those days, you were considered to be part of the high class, the status, economically status. You had achieved a certain measure of grace. And then number four, the Bible says that they had purchasing power, because at some point in this story, you will discover that they had money to go out and buy, get more oil so that they can lamp up their lamps. So Reverend Simon, it's amazing that with these 4 elements, Jesus still calls them unwise. You know, in our time, if you have consecration, if you have access, if you have resources, and then you have purchasing power, no limitations to buy. That in itself is somebody who is walking in wisdom. But from the marking scheme of Jesus, he does not use those four things that are well defined in the world to give us a definition of what wisdom is all about. The first thing that we see and notice is that they were all invited, but not all of them were wise, even in the midst of precious elements that would have qualified them to be called as wise. Second question. When the five unwise could not be able to get extra oil so that they could be able to keep up their lamps, they went to those who are wise who had the oil and they asked for oil. My God. And they responded by saying, "We cannot give it to you." So the second disaster that we see in this text is that the five unwise are connected to the other five. So they had social power, the capacity to be in the midst of abundance and still not be able to pick it up and still not be able to receive it. And so I asked the Holy Spirit, show me why these wise will not gladly give their oil to the unwise. Why is it that you are seeing a brother and a sister who has a measure of limitation and the coordinates of our social lives call for us to be able to look out for the needs of others? Why did they decide to lock their hearts, knowing that if they don't pour out the oil to the rest, then there will be no chance for them to be part of the banquet? And the Lord said, you must first of all look at the journey as to how oil is produced, because oil is costly. When they begin to seek for the oil, ladies and gentlemen, the harvesters and the gardeners, they need to go to the gardens and they will collect the olive seeds. The olive seeds will be put together and they are taken into the granaries. And the first thing that they will do is to clean them. Once they have been able to clean the olive seed, the next thing that they do is to soak them in water so that they can purge out the bitterness. And then number three, they will break and crush the seed so that the oil can come out. So you have to clean, you have to purge, you have to crush so that the oil can come out. It was a long process before the oil could come out. I have realized that most mentees never receive from their mentors because they haven't recognized that the oil that works in that man is too costly, and you must be able to know how to receive it with the gladness of honor. There are many sons and daughters, I speak as one of them, who have truly never received from their parents because as they don't have the full discernment to know that what it took for my mom and my father to get into that place, I must be glad to prostrate myself in understanding and receive it gladly. The people who did not have that understanding as well in scripture was the town of Nazareth. Jesus leaves the town. And he comes back. There's a homecoming for him. And that day, the Bible says that he had the power to heal. So he comes to Nazareth and he's preaching his heart out. And at the end of that sermon, those that were in the congregation looked at him and said, "Is this not the son of the carpenter? Is this not the son of Mary? We know his brother, Joseph and James." And the Bible says that they were offended at him. And Jesus marveled at their unbelief. There was power to heal, but Jesus only laid his hands on a few people because they saw him as a carpenter. Ladies and gentlemen, the Jesus you see is the Jesus you receive. If you see Jesus as a carpenter, he will fix your tables. If you see him as a savior, he will fix your life. The Jesus you see, Marakadosa, is the Jesus you receive. Sometimes Jesus will not even take time to heal because they did not have recognition of the oil, because oil is costly. So he says, do not even throw your pearls to pigs because they will trample on them and then turn to you and tear you into pieces. In this kingdom, there is a way by which we draw and partake of the oil of those who have gone before us. For some of us, we will learn the rigors of service, that you humble yourself to serve for a while so that the person who has the oil that you must be a partaker of is able to release it to you. And so the five wise said, you don't have the full equation of discernment to know that if you knew that oil was costly, you would have kept some for yourself. And so the five wise dismiss the unwise. And on their way now, they need to know how to rescue themselves. And so Jesus gets to a place where he now says, watch therefore. Somebody say, watch therefore. Watch therefore, when you look at it, that name and that word in the original language, it is not talking about the physical outward looking. It is not talking about the outward looking. The original word there is the word Gregory, Gregorio. It is the power of self-processing and the power of self-reflection. So when Jesus says, watch therefore, he's not just saying, make observation of what is happening outwardly. He finishes and closes the parable by saying, you must Gregorio within you. You must be able to reflect deeply. I gave you the parable of the 10 virgins. I have given you the elements and the realities of this story so that when you observe it outwardly, you may be able to have your own personal reflection. You look at what is happening outwardly through the story. Jesus tells the disciples, but let this be an opportunity that will usher you into your own personal reflections. You alone are my heart, desire and I long to. Ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open heart. Do you realize that in this world, ladies and gentlemen, there is too much noise where there is no opportunity to silence our hearts so that we can tune and frame our minds to hear from the Spirit? From the first time we wake up, our phones receive all messages. The chats are flooding within our phones. By the time you get to your office, Monday morning, your colleague who has been waiting for you through the weekend to give you details of what you missed. Too much noise that is surrounding us. Jesus is calling us to a moment of personal silence, to enter into the rhythms of solitude, because that is where we are able to hear clearly what the Spirit saith to the church. It's amazing that he can use an outward appearance, an outward example, to teach them about the power of inward looking. It is when we chase outwardly that we are not able to hear what the Spirit has to say to us. But he says that if you check inwardly, you will now be able to tap into the resources and the values that will be able to help you buy in this kingdom, even without money. Ladies and gentlemen, money is powerful. Even the Bible recognizes it. But money in this kingdom is not enough. There are other additions that Jesus is bringing to the disciples so that once you are supplied even physically, you have the tangibility of financial resources, but you also don't miss that there are other resources within you, that combining that which is physical with the inward resources, you now become a dangerous man and a woman in this kingdom. Because there is a place that you will be able to use your physical money to buy, but there is no supermarket that has a channel where you can buy love. No supermarket can be able to sell peace. The fruit of the Spirit is so precious that no money can buy it. So he says, I have given you things, watch this, for life and for godliness. You can use the money for life, but for godliness, there is another way by which we tap into the corridors of the currencies of this kingdom to be able to partake that which God has for us. Three currencies that enable us to enter into the impartation of uncommon increase. Number one, it is the power of maximizing time. The power, my God, of time maximization. You must realize that time is more valuable than physical money. Time, ladies and gentlemen, is more valuable than physical money. The five unwise had money, purchasing power. They left the banquet to go seek for some oil. Now watch this carefully. He says that when they came back to the banquet, the door was locked. Now they had money to buy, but when they came back, they could not enter into the banquet. Watch this, because they were now out of time. And those who had their lamps burning on time had the value to see the groom. Everything that Jesus has done, he has given it to us in time. But as a believer, you must know how to receive the things in time for them to be on time in your life. So if a graduation should take 2 years, you should not graduate after 10 years. Now, it is a testimony that you graduated 10 years, but in actual sense, your miracle came, but it was not on time. It is done in time, the finished work of Christ. From the beginning to the end, he has set eternity in the hearts of men. But he says, satisfy me early, O God, so that I can be able to receive of your mercy. You know, in our ministry, ladies and gentlemen, one of the anchors of our ministry is that we will not do great things for God when we are old. We have learned that there is a place where we will serve God before we are 50, before we are 60. We are going to plant multiple churches. Right now, we have had 5 million souls campaign. And guess what? We'll do it before we are 40. In time and on time. Many people have received things in time, but only a few have received them on time. They had the money to buy the oil, but the oil could not be useful because it was not bought on time. So, therefore, maximization of time is more important even beyond what you have in your pocket. It means that if my miracle is not on time, and I even go out buying for oil, that oil will be wasted money because that money was not valuable on time. All the business people in this house today, may you receive the miracle of being on time. Marketplace leaders, may you receive the miracle of being on time. Let me prophesy today by the anointing of my spiritual father. I declare to you in the name of the Lord Jesus, the precise wisdom that will lead you to precise timing, that you will not miss your miracle when the time has come. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, whatever the Lord has placed for you to receive for your family, let it come on time. If you are in school, graduate on time. If there is a business deal that must close, let it close on time. We declare that no resources will be wasted because we were not on time. In Jesus' mighty name, clap your hands and give him praise. On time. Time is powerful. It's a currency that we used to buy. It was not just money that was wasted because the money was not valuable on time, but also they lost the heart of the groom. The Bible says that when they came, the groom spoke and said, I do not know you. I can imagine tears flowing from their eyes because they had waited for this opportunity. Because you're only grace once to be a virgin in a wedding banquet. Once your time is off, then another will take your section. A missed opportunity because the groom now could not extend his heart to them. He says, I do not know you. So time, ladies and gentlemen, enables us to maximize on financial resources. And then the maximization on time also helps us to keep our fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ. When it happens on time, even the testimony will sound differently. When it happens on time, oh, I wish I had a witness today. If it happens on time, even the texture of your testimony will change. Your heart will be so drawn to God because you didn't get to the age of 70 and 80 for you to build your first house. You did it while you still had the strength. You know, one time I was praying and the Lord told me, once you pray, the second prayer that you must pray is that, Lord, give me the grace to stay for me to receive the harvest, that I did not just pray of it and never received it. You pray for it, but you have the stature to remain, to enjoy the blessings that you prayed for. So you will build your house and live in it. Is somebody receiving this? You will build your business and eat of it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The kingdom will eat of it, and your family too will be blessed because he's a good father. Hallelujah. So the first currency is time maximization. The second currency is the power of presence, to be present. Presence is valuable. The lesson here is that when you go home, go home. It's possible to be home and not be at home. It's possible to be at work and my heart is not at work. A young man came to the office and told me, "Pastor, I have checked that I have so many friends. I am surrounded by many friends, but I still feel alone." And when he left the office, I realized that you can be surrounded with abundance and still not be connected to it. You can be so close to it. It is possible to be close to a man of God and not partake of their grace. It is possible to be connected to a powerful commission and still not receive from it. It is possible to be connected to a boss who can release grace upon that employee and still not receive from it, because the heart has not been fashioned to be present. Right now, globally speaking, Kenya is ranked number 3 in terms of social media consumption amongst teenagers. US is number 1. We are number 3. So it means that the average teenager right now spends about 8 to 10 hours on social media. And that is why a young person can be checking on milk. The milk is boiling. He's looking at it. It's boiling. But once it's boiling to the brim, falling off, and he doesn't know. Because the mind has gotten to the stature of slumber and sleep. And do you realize that over time, messages continue to shrink? That 5 years ago, 10 years ago, we would send a long message, but nowadays people have to use emojis. Do you know that girl on WhatsApp who has a red dress who looks like this? That in itself communicates that I'm happy. Even the phone gives you suggestion, because it is too much time. Because our brains have been wired now to take it quickly. God is looking for husbands who will be present with their wives one more time. Reverend Simon, the danger of this text is that Jesus says that the virgins slumbered and slept. How do you sleep when your groom is just about to show up? I remember my wedding day, I couldn't sleep. So how do you sleep? And when things are happening in the spirit is where most people get to the place where they slumber. Jesus comes with John, Peter, and James. And when he leaves them, the Bible says that their eyes were heavy with sleep and they slept off. They couldn't keep watch with him. God is calling us back to the place where we are present enough to be able to behold that which is before us. Where in conversations we are actually present. When it is time to go minister and we are releasing our gifts before God's people, we are truly present in that moment. When we went to preach in Turkana a few years ago, and you know, when we travel to Turkana with my people, we load a bus, we travel for 3 days, no showering. And I realized that when you don't shower, all of us, there is comfort. There is comfort because all of us are in the same. It's when one showers, you now realize that all of you need to do the same. But we travel for 3 days. And I remember one time we were having a crusade, a mega crusade with 30 women. If you have 30 congregants in that region, that was a mega crusade. Under a tree, some of them had traveled for 7 kilometers, and they're here to watch these young people trying to speak to them. And we had to use an interpreter. It was the first time that the Lord told us about the power of intentionality and being able to be present in the moment. First of all, ladies and gentlemen, when you're preaching in that place and you have an interpreter, you will pray for God's preservation because you don't know whether he's interpreting the right thing. You will first of all have to check the posture of their faces. And if you see them nodding and saying amen, then you're safe. And so we had to learn to be present in that moment, because even as you release the word, you are paying attention even to the needs that are before you. One of the ladies had traveled for 7 kilometers. Once we were done, he came and said, I couldn't get my son to the hospital. And I asked her, how much would it have taken for you to take your son to the hospital? And he said, I didn't have 100 shillings to get a motorbike. And my son passed on because I didn't have a dollar to take my son. A dollar could have saved a son. So an evangelist who is present in that moment can now rise up and pray. You see, now God can anoint an evangelist who paid attention to that moment to carry the grace of abundance, because he has been touched with the feelings of the infirmities. And he can now trust God for grace to be able to do more, simply because he was present in the moment. If there is something that is endangered in our time, is that we are moving too fast. And yet some people are waiting for us to pause down and at least have an opportunity to check them. When we go home, make sure you're home. In a conversation, I'm right there presently. Like Jesus, who left the ambience of heaven so that he could come down the corridors of this earth so that we can find home with him. And John says it so powerfully. He says, he has been made flesh. The word of the Lord has been made flesh, and it is dwelling amongst us. We have the currency of time, the currency of presence. And then lastly, and number three, is a currency called extra oil. You'll be so blessed that you came to church today. Extra oil is a currency. The reason why they were called wise, after the four things that I mentioned, the differentiation between them and the others, because they started from the same level, what presented them to be wise is that Jesus says they had extra oil. Please tell your neighbor, be extra. Let me show you the power of extra oil. When the groom was delayed, it was not an expected event, because grooms were supposed to keep time. This was not part of their training. They were not trained that a groom would delay. So this was an unexpected event. And when the groom was delayed, they now needed to be able to operate in another sequence that will help them be able to preserve themselves in the unexpected delays and disappointments that come along the way. And when the lamps began to go off, because the lamps were lit at the same time, 10 of them lit the lamps at the same time, delay extended the time for the groom to come. And when all the lamps now begin to go off, it was the extra oil that he had that enabled them to survive the setback of delay. The Lord told me to tell you that one of the ways you survive unexpected events in your life is to ensure that you have extra oil in your lamp. The extra oil. You see, if you have oil, that is common. But if you have extra oil, that is uncommon. The usher who came through this door to invite some of us into this sanctuary today, there is a common thing to do to usher God's people into his presence. But there is one who will go beyond the common and actually pause and talk to the person coming into the sanctuary and say, how can I pray for you today? That was not just common, it was now an extra oil in common places. This extra oil is a survival. You see, when you are constantly pouring yourself in extra ways to people, in the days of trouble and you call upon for help, you will have published so much benevolence within their hearts that they can now hearken to your call. It's one of the ways by which we survive. As you go through the rigors of life, anybody that you meet, the guard at the gate, the man who opens the door, the colleague who serves you tea in the office, these are opportunities for you to extend your extra oil to them. And they will say, since I came to this company, this is the only boss who ever spent 10 minutes with me, at least to see how I am doing. Others will just call for the official duties, but this one, he has extra oil. Last week, but one, we were preaching in Kibera for a full week. And a young man came and said, Pastor, I've been struggling with suicidal thoughts. He actually told me that a day before the crusade, he had mixed already those pills to just take his life off. And I asked him, then why did you come? He said, the reason why I came is because somebody came to my house, my rugged house, gave me a flyer and told me that we are here to serve you and we are here to love you. An extra moment called somebody from the shores of death. Extra oil, ladies and gentlemen, is powerful. The person you're sitting next to before you leave this service, you have an opportunity to extend extra oil. Maybe you look at them and say, today was your birthday. Let me give you $100. Extra oil. Hallelujah. Extra love. This is uncommon. Extra touch. Jesus touched the blind man once and then he asked him, can you see? And the man says, I can't see. You see, first of all, if Jesus asks you if you can see and you tell him you can't see, that in itself is boldness because he's the master healer. If it was a man of God, you can tell him I can't see. But Jesus? But thank God that we don't serve a Jesus who struggles from low self-esteem. He can handle our vulnerabilities. And then he says, I will touch you the second time. That was an extra touch. He saw men like trees, but in the second touch, the extra touch, ladies and gentlemen, the value is in the extra touch. Extra generosity. The Bible can put a caveat of 10% as tithe, but as for you and your house, you know that you're kingdom givers. And the highest level, ladies and gentlemen, of giving is giving in silence, for you don't need to announce. It will never be seen in the bulletins. What I have learned with God is that when you give it in silence, the testimony will be showcased publicly. Extra generosity. Extra giving of time. I should close this by this time. But extra. I know I need to close, but give me extra. Hallelujah. Extra time. Before I got married, and I close with this, Reverend Simon, in a group of seven people, I was the only person who was single. And I realized that there were testimonies happening in the lives of these other six, to a place where some of them even, God began to bless them with children. Oh, I attended all wedding committees, making me the chair, while I'm struggling to find my own. So I prayed and I told God, like that prayer of the revivalist, give me a wife lest I die. Give me Scotland. And the Lord says, it's not yet time because I'm still working on you. But I said, Lord, the violent take it by force. So I decided to now begin looking. So I began searching. And I saw a lady in the worship team. I saw she's in the worship team and then I'm a preacher. What a kingdom collabo. She will bring the presence of God and then I'll bring the word. So I said, the time has come for me to leave that realm and enter into the uncommon places of increase. So I called her and asked her, I want to take you out because I want to share with you something from my heart. That night, I now began to research on the power of fine dining. And I learned a lot about fine dining. Number one is that you arrive early before the person that you invited. Number two, you don't allow her to speak to the waiter. You do the order on her behalf. And then number three, which was the best that I learned, is that you eat at her pace. If she's slow, take it slow. If she's fast, take it fast. It's called the rhythm of fine dining. And then I stood in front of the mirror and I began to rehearse my lines. I remembered verses from the book of Song of Songs. Like a lily among the valleys, so is my beloved. You know, the book of Song of Songs has powerful verses. He says, by the way, he says like your neck is like the Tower of David. You know, it's... So I rehearsed my lines and the day came. I selected a restaurant in a mall where I had never been myself. I wanted to show her that this is my introduction to the life of grace that will come upon you. So I left, got there early, and I'm waiting for her. Sat next to the staircase. So she's coming up the staircase. As she's coming up, ladies and gentlemen, I saw my dreams coming towards me. I now knew that the distance is being closed. So she sat, we began to have the meal, and I began to release my heart. Especially brothers in church, they have powerful words. So I quoted all the mysteries that I had, trying to move her heart. And then I looked at her to wait for a response. She looked at me and said, I've heard all that you have said, but I don't feel the same way. The first thing I thought, ladies and gentlemen, the bill. Who will pay? Who will pay the bill? The bill. And when she said that, she continued eating. That was the second pain. How do you say... You know, if you say no and then you say the meal is over, at least you can give me some solace. But she continued eating and then summoned the waiter and said, it is time for dessert. Dessert. All the single people in the house, may the Lord give you grace. May you find your Boaz. So later on, we got, she said no. And at that time, the Lord told me, you have learned how to handle yeses, but you must also learn how to handle noes. That sometimes you can be so available and no one needs you. That you can broadcast yourself before people and they still make no recognition of you. So I left and I said, Lord, I still believe you can do something. So that night, I texted her. I told her, I know you said no, but you know, I feel we should do this. She now texted me and told me, did I not tell you that? So I left it. I used to see her sing on online YouTube videos, and I would struggle to worship. I took time before I even visited her church. A few years later, I got married. Now I'm with my wife, and we guess who we meet? That girl. So we are walking into this restaurant with my wife and we are just about to step in and I see her right there. I'll be honest with you to say that the first thing I thought is, this could have been you, but since you say, I didn't honor the anointing, so. Now watch this. After that moment of conversation, as we left, the Holy Spirit told me, this is a time for you to offer even extra love to her. Because the people who wounded you and gave you all kinds of rejections, how you solve the dilemma is by pouring extra oil to them. You see, the uncle who didn't give you an opportunity to grow up, well, when you go back to the village and you hand over keys to him and you give him a house, for you it was not a statement that you are a builder. It was actually an extra oil of consolation to show him that even though this happened, the Lord has healed my heart and the extra oil of the Spirit has continued to flow upon my life. This is the power of extra oil. Tell your neighbor one more time, please be extra. Come and buy without money. The five virgins had money to buy, but their money was not useful in the equations of the teachings that Jesus presents before us today. He says it is powerful that you will have physical resources. But ladies and gentlemen, today we come to sound an alarm that as you are having physical and contending for physical resources, don't forget to add these three more currencies. The currency of time maximization, the currency of being present, and the currency of extra oil. These three combined with your physical resources gives you the reality of the uncommon increase that imparts you to do mighty things for God. I therefore declare in this anointing that this is a gathering of the wise. I declare that this is a gathering of the wise. And from today, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, may you have the ability to maximize on time. I declare that God will rest your mind so that you can maximize in the present. And number three, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, may you carry the extra oil even for the days ahead. I prophesy in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, if there is anyone that you offered your extra oil and you are trusting God to bring a release and an answer to you, may the Lord remember the sacrifice of your extra oil. Let it be called upon your life in Jesus' mighty name. And so he says, come and buy without money. So on this powerful Youth Sunday, we came to share with you and say that the time has come. God has called you and he's willing to use your life. The power of time, presence, and extra oil is your kingdom combination for uncommon increase. We declare this in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.